Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio, hour number two of our radio program, and we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. These are challenging times, and Rocket Mortgage is prepared to help you. If you need mortgage assistance, contact their team 24/7 at rocketmortgage.com. From their home to yours, the team at Rocket Mortgage is with you. Waiting on DeMario Davis to join us from the New Orleans Saints. The tackling machine was an all-pro a year ago. In the last hour, Mitch called us, and Mitch was talking about this GoFundMe page for a sports freelance cameraman who did contract the coronavirus. So far, they've raised over $13,000. This link was passed along to me by Josh Weingrad on Twitter. And the description, if you want to donate, if you can, please. I know a lot of people right now are going through some tough financial times, but if you could afford to donate some money, please do so. And it says, without giving my good friend's name away, I'm setting up a relief fund to help him with any lingering bills that will come from this possible deadly virus in this unprecedented time. Thank you. Also adds, any extra money raised from these donations besides keeping our friend comfortable and healthy will be given to surrounding food banks to flintkids.org. Please read and consider donating. And you could find that. I just retweeted it. I saw there was a Yahoo article written about it, and some other publications did pick it up. But I just retweeted it on my Twitter page, at Zach Gelb. But I also thought this was pretty neat, too, and I touched upon it a little bit earlier in the show, as we're all trying to help out and do what we can, because times like this, there's a lot of people that do need our help, and if I could do something through my platform to provide that help, I'm always more than willing to do so. And you can't help with each and every cause that is tweeted to you, but a buddy of mine reached out, Seth, who I was close with in college, and Seth is a medical student actually right now, and he tweeted me out this link, which I just retweeted as well. It's himself and along with 1,000 medical and nursing students are collecting and donations for hospitals in Philadelphia due to COVID-19. Donations will go towards gloves and masks, and my buddy Seth did reach out to me the other day. Yesterday when this happened, and he reached back out to me this morning and said that they raised $600 last night, which they found the link directly to us retweeting it and promoting this. And the overall total donations that I'm looking at right now is currently they're at $22,254. So very nice that we could help here. And what they're trying to do is provide as much medical supplies as possible to hospitals that need it. So right now, their new fundraising goal, and this was as of this morning on March 27th, is $23,150. And they're on pace to get past that, as currently they're at $22,254 raised. So a very nice job. And, I'm going to put out stuff that I know is legit, because I also read that there's, jerks and the lowest, big time people out there that are trying to take advantage of people's situation, and they're scum, people that do that, and they're trying to get money for themselves and not donate it to a cause. So when you get these two last things that come my way, with the sports freelancer who is a cameraman who contracted the coronavirus, and then my buddy Seth. We try to help as much as we can possible. But if you're taking advantage of people in this situation and you're not donating the money to a good cause or doing good with the money, and you're trying to scam people, then really shame on you, because that, there's never a time to do that. But in a time like this, it should not happen. But unfortunately, it does. When Hurricane Sandy did occur here in Long Island, I was talking to my uncle the other day, and he remembers people were going and benefiting and profiting off the hurricane here on Long Island. So no matter what the world's going through, no matter what crisis the world is going through, there's going to be people that unfortunately are going to try to take advantage for it in the wrong way. And then there's people that are going to try to use their platform, and they're going to try to help other people. And hopefully that does happen in the correct way compared to some of the other ways that it's going down, which is not proper. And when people are taking advantage of people in a time like this, it's absolutely disgraceful. All right, I hear that we have DeMario Davis right now. DeMario Davis going to join us from the Saints, the all-pro linebacker, and he's kind enough to give us a few minutes right now on the Zach Gelb Show. DeMario, how are you? Appreciate a few minutes.
Doing good. Thanks for having me on.
No problem. So how are you and the family holding up during a time like this? Is it's a crazy time in our world as we're all reacting to new changes in our life?
That it is indeed. It is indeed, man. I think we're doing just like everybody else, just hunkered down and kind of waiting day by day to see what's going to become of everything, praying, staying optimistic, and just trying to make the most of our time while all of this is going on. So we just like everybody else.
And we keep on finding out important figures, and a lot of people in the sports world are now contracting coronavirus, and hey, this is going to happen. When you read the news, that there's going to be more and more, we're going to start knowing people that have it. But I saw your head football coach Sean Payton did test positive and now has been cleared of the coronavirus. What was your reaction when you read and found out what happened with Coach Payton?
I mean, I think everybody's still kind of a little bit confused as to what it all means, when he had it. I think it just becomes more real, when somebody close to you gets it. But what does it mean for somebody to have it? Is it based on their condition? Is it based on age? What is it? I think we're all still trying to figure that out. And then for people to be cleared, what does that even mean? So I think we're all kind of in a state of limbo, just kind of, waiting. And seeing, thankfully we have experts who are out there working hard, day by day, and we have people on the front lines working to create a solution for this worldwide problem. But at this point, all of us, all our hands are just tied, and all we can do is kind of pray and hope for the best.
And what's scary about this, and I said this to open up the show today, I'm a person of structure. I like to know point A to point B, and right now we're at point A, and we don't know where the finish line is at point B, and we find out some people have the coronavirus, and they didn't even feel any symptoms, and then for some people, it did become deadly. Just for you personally, what are the emotions that you're feeling during this time where there's a lot of great uncertainty and really life's on hold right now?
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about something that has come in and literally turned everybody's world upside down. I mean, it's the main topic of discussion worldwide, and how rare is it that we're all talking about the same thing every day? And everybody on the same page as far as, this is the main objective, finding a way to defeat the coronavirus before it defeats us. And, I mean, it's a very real thing that's going on, and though it does feel very dreamlike, I think my perspective is the same, no matter what is going on, especially in adverse times. My hope isn't found in this world. My hope is found in the creator of the world, and that's where my perspective remains. And I always say, as long as he's on the throne, I know he's in control, and so I don't have to worry. So though there is uncertainty, though there is curiosity and, you know, kind of everything that comes along, all the emotions that come with the unknown, because we don't know what the next week, the next month, the next year or so on has in store, my hope is in something much greater than anything in the world. So it's my hope isn't in my finances. It's not in my home. It's not in my family. It's in something that remains constant. And so and that's the creator of the universe. And so I just try to remain there, and that kind of keeps me even keel, kind of keeps my home even keel. And so though there's new news coming out every day, some good, some bad, you know, I'm pretty much centered.
Demario Davis here with us on the Zach Gelb Show, all-pro linebacker from the Saints. This was your second year in New Orleans. You also played for the Jets and had two stints with them, and also spent a year in Cleveland. Playing for Sean Payton, though, what makes him unique? What makes him different compared to maybe some other experiences that you had with some other coaches?
I think what separates Sean is his preparation and the way that he prepares the team. I feel like there's no game that we go in that not only are we prepared to win, we expect to win because of our preparation. And he does it in a way of all the little details. It's almost like he can foresee everything that's going to come up and prepare us for every situation before they occur. And so when we get in late games, we get in tight situations, it's almost as if we can feel how much more prepared we are for these moments than our opponents. And that's why we've been able to put together so many strings of wins in the past few seasons. And, you know, as a defensive player, to be able to go on the field knowing your offense is going to score, you know, X amount of points, and it's on you to just create a few stops, that excites the defender and allows you to go out and play with your hair on fire and play at a high level.
When we get to your quarterback, Demario Davis, in this offseason, he said it was either going to be retirement or he was going to return to the Saints. When he said that, I said, you could 100% take it to the bank. He's coming back with the Saints. I never bought into the retirement. How about yourself? Did you always expect Drew to come back?
Yeah, I think so. He's the ultimate competitor, and the reason he has come back to the Saints, you know, the past couple of years has been to win a Super Bowl, win another Super Bowl, and that's his mission. And he's not going to be able to rest until he gets that. And that was the big reason why I signed with the Saints, because I could almost sense that, you know, even being on another team, and I wanted to kind of help him do that. And so his mission is not complete. My mission is not complete. Our team mission isn't complete until we get that glory.
How do you describe him as a competitor? Because I'm listening to what you just said. When you weren't even there, you were motivated to try to get there and get him a ring. So how about just the competitive nature from afar and then being in the same locker room as Drew?
When you talk about a competitor, I don't know if I've seen one bigger. His attention to detail and his mastery of craft because of his level of competition is rare. I mean, I've watched him play cornhole. I've watched him play ping pong. I've watched him shoot free throws, and he has the same look in his eyes every time that he isn't going to settle for a defeat. And I think that drive and that motivation is what has allowed him to master his level and to be one of, if not the best, able to do it. I mean, you just look at the numbers. Numbers speak for itself. The career records that he has in touchdowns and yardage, and then the extent of his career with 20 years of doing it. I mean, all of it comes from his inner drive and his mental toughness.
Who's a better ping pong player, you or Drew?
Oh, I'm not on that level. I wouldn't say ping pong is my forte.
How about shooting free throws?
Oh man, I crush them.
Not even close.
Yeah.
Demario Davis here with us on the Zach Gelb Show. A lot of people are confident in Taysom Hill, too. We had Mike Westhoff on about a month ago now, maybe even longer than that, and he believes that Taysom Hill could eventually replace Drew Brees whenever Drew decides to walk away. Well, where's the team's confidence in Taysom Hill, and what do you recognize out of him being in there in practice?
Well, he definitely brings a different dynamic to the position as a quarterback, you know, with his legs and his awareness. But, you know, what I've seen in the 2 years of being there, you know, my first year coming and watching him, it was like he was the king of checkdowns. And then, you know, last year in OTAs and in training camp, to see him make the reads and throw the ball down the field, I was thoroughly impressed at how much his game had improved. And he's a competitor too. I think he's a guy who looks and says, okay, he's a team guy, so whatever the team needs, that's what he's going to do first. But I think deep down his desire is to be a quarterback. And I think, you know, with the coaching staff that we have, they do a good job of designing systems around the guy that's quarterbacking. And if that was ever the case, he would be able to have a high level of success based on all those factors.
We know you guys have such a solid team, DeMario Davis of the Saints, and the rich got richer in this offseason. That's what good teams do. They find a way to get even better. On the offense side of the ball, you guys add Emmanuel Sanders, and defensively, Malcolm Jenkins is making his return to NOLA. How about those two moves and what the Saints have done this offseason?
Well, that's huge. Anybody that understands the game to know to be able to have a number two receiver on the other side of the best receiver in football is just going to open up even more plays. You know, now the offense has to choose, you know, which guy they're going to try to stop. Emmanuel Sanders is a phenomenal threat. I think he went for like 150 on us when we played him in that high-scoring game. I think it finished like 48-46, and he was a big part of that explosion of offense for them. To be able to bring in, you know, Malcolm Jenkins, it solidifies our back end. When you talk about having guys like Marshawn Lattimore, Janoris Jenkins, Marcus Williams, now Malcolm Jenkins, along with Chauncey Gardner and P.J. Williams, I mean, that's probably the top defensive back unit talent-wise in the league. And so that just puts us in a better position to win. And so, you know, and even the guys that they have solidified up and re-signing and restructuring contracts, it just puts us in a position to win. I think, you know, the front office in New Orleans has been winning for a long time, and they continue to do so.
I know for you, you're motivated to win a Super Bowl. But for your personal success this year, DeMario Davis, you finally got named to an All-Pro team as a first-team All-Pro. How do you recap this past year for you from an individual standpoint?
Yeah, man, it was a good year. I put a lot of time into my craft, and so for me to be able to go out and execute number one has been huge. But to be able to get that recognition is huge, too. You know, I take pride in degrees of separation from my competition. You know, as far as when it comes to the run game, when it comes to being able to cover line, tight ends and running backs, and to be able to get pressure on the quarterback from the inside position. And, you know, I take a lot of pride in putting a good product on the field and myself in those areas and being able to show. I think that's where I can create the best degrees of separation, to be able to have one guy that's versatile, to be able to be one of the top guys in all those departments.
A lot of people, when they look back at the Saints with what happened in the last 3 years and how each season has ended, I know you've only been there for two, they wonder if they could bounce back. Last year, when you guys lose Drew for the first five games, that was answered pretty quickly. Now going through this again, and I think you guys are the favorite in the NFC right now, why are you confident that this team, after three tough finishes, can bounce back this year and finally get the job done?
Anybody that knows success understands failure and how it has to drive you, and being close and not quite being there. It's all about getting back up and trying it again. And we have the team that has the resiliency, that has the mindset that we're not going to give up, no matter how many times we get knocked down. But we also understand that, you know, it's not just about getting up and almost getting there. It's about crossing that finish line. And so, of course, the resiliency will always pay off if you can just keep getting back up. But also, that window is closing, and our opportunity is now. So we have to find a way to get through that threshold and make it happen.
A lot of big moves have been happening in the NFC South. We talked about the Saints added Emmanuel Sanders and also Malcolm Jenkins as we're talking to DeMario Davis right now. Brady goes to Tampa Bay. Where were you when you found out that news? And that's going to be some fun matchups twice a year, maybe even three times a year if you meet each other in the playoffs with Tampa Bay and the Saints.
Yeah, man, some big moves happening in the NFC South, and it's exciting, you know, to have one of the top quarterbacks in the league to come play, you know, in a division. That's exciting for any competitor. That's the opportunity that you're looking for. You know, I know I'm licking my chops for that matchup, but also, you know, having Teddy to go over to Carolina, it's gonna be exciting playing against him. Atlanta made some big moves and bringing in one of the top running backs in Gurley and getting Fowler. And so it's going to be exciting. It's going to be, you know, we get to play all these teams two times a year. It's going to be some exciting matchups and it's going to be fun. And so definitely looking forward to it. Hopefully that positions us. If we went already, that would be the best division in football. So that's what you want as a competitor.
I know it's a business, but there's human emotions in the game as well. You had a teammate, like you just said, in Teddy Bridgewater, go from the Saints to the Panthers. He gets an opportunity now on a three-year deal to be the starter. Is that at all tough, though, when you see one of your former players go to another team inside your own division?
I think early on in your career it's kind of tougher, but you know, at this point, as you get older and you understand the vision, you just know it's part of it. So you try to relish that time that you have with all the guys, understanding that the locker room is going to look different every year. Teddy is a really good friend of mine. We have a relationship off the field, not just, you know, in the locker room. So I'm going to track him and keep up with him, you know, for the rest of his career and beyond. And so just knowing that we're not going to be in the same locker room is a little bittersweet. But at the same time, to know that I'll get a chance to play against him twice a year, we'll get a chance to go against him twice a year, it's going to be exciting. It's going to be fun. And I think he probably feels real similar to that.
Last one for DeMario Davis. Last year, Sean did bring in Antonio Brown for a workout on our network the other day on Tiki and Tierney's show. Bruce Arians said, because there's a lot of rumors that maybe AB is going to go play with Tom in Tampa, that that's not going to happen. Would you welcome Antonio Brown into the locker room? Would you like to see him maybe become a member of the Saints?
I mean, that's our front office. I mean, I'm always open to any guy that they bring in, just like bringing in Malcolm and bringing in Emmanuel. And so I trust the front office to do their job. Whoever they bring in, I know they're making the decision that they feel like going to give us the best chance to win. And so I'm open to any of that. You know, I try to focus on my job. They don't follow my plate. So I let them do their job and I do mine.
DeMario, well, hey, we really do appreciate you giving us a few minutes today. Hang in there, and we can't wait to see you back in the football field. Thanks for the time.
All right, thank you, man. Be blessed.
No problem. There's DeMario Davis on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We'll take a timeout, and when we return, I want to get into a little bit about a conversation that we started yesterday when Jake DeLone was on our show actually 2 days ago and talked about the possibility if Baker Mayfield plays poorly that in November the Browns aren't going to be afraid to pull the trigger and make the change at the QB position and go with Case Keenum. So we're going to look into in the next segment what quarterbacks maybe should be watching their back this year, and we'll do that when we return on the Zach Gelb Show.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show. He's back. Here's Zach Gelb.
And CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227. It's sponsored by our good friends at Geico. Whether you own or rent, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home, so get a quote at geico.com. Easy. So our conversation with Jake DeLome did generate some attention, especially in Cleveland, on one of our great affiliates, 92.3, The Fan. And I was listening to their morning show in Ken Carman and Anthony Lima. And I also was listening to their afternoon show today with Bull and Fox, and they do a great job. That entire station, also Baskin and Phelps in the middays, do a really good job. It's one of the better sports radio stations, in my opinion, in the country. And part of that is you have good management, you have good talk show hosts, and then you also have very passionate fans. And that is what the Cleveland fans are. They're passionate because they don't usually get winners. Yes. They had the Indians in the World Series a few years ago, and they lost in Game 7 with that wild Rajay Davis home run. You also had the Cavaliers. They've been accustomed to winning over the years, and they came back from down 3-1 to win that championship up against the Golden State Warriors, and you had the LeBron James moment of Cleveland! This is for you, which is one of the great post-game press conferences or post-game moments that you will see. And you've also have had a lot of negativity and a lot of failures when you look at the Cleveland Browns or life now twice go around without LeBron James. So that's a fan base, though, that even though the Cavs have been, you know, a team that has won as of late and Cleveland has, in terms of baseball, has been a good, consistent product, we all know that from the Cleveland sports fan, the thing that they want in the worst possible way is to have the Cleveland Browns win a Super Bowl. And right now, they're very far away from that happening. Last year, they were teased. Oh, it's going to be a good team, very good team. It's going to be a dominant team. Look at all the talent. And what happened? They didn't even make the playoffs, and they were synonymous with just being a clown show. So the other day, Jake Delhomme's on with us, and he says, and that's a former Browns quarterback, even though it was not a successful time for Jake in Cleveland. But Jake said, and I'm paraphrasing here, but the general gist of the quote was, if Baker struggles, and they need better quarterback play because they have a lot of talent, but if Baker struggles, don't be surprised in November if the Browns go to Case Keenum, who they just signed on a 3-year contract. And the reason why I brought up 92 through the fan is because they're playing it this morning, and Ken Carman did a great exercise. He said, say this sentence out loud. And the sentence out loud was, Case Keenum's going to start in 2020 for the Cleveland Browns. And does that feel right? And to me, it doesn't feel right whatsoever. It doesn't feel right at all. And Ken was in the same thinking of me, and this is what I said yesterday, in no way other than injury, unless if an injury does happen, there is no way that the Cleveland Browns should go to Case Keenum at quarterback. This should be Baker Mayfield, and Baker Mayfield should be the starting quarterback for the Cleveland Browns for this upcoming season and for the entirety of this season. And even if it does go poorly this year, until there's a better alternative than Case Keenum, then you know what? Baker Mayfield should be the starting quarterback, even if it doesn't go great in 2020, in 2021. You just spent a first-round pick, first overall pick on him. It doesn't mean that it's going to be successful. The Browns have spent first-round picks before on quarterbacks, and we know that they don't always work out. From Whedon to Couch to Manziel, we could go on and on and on with the failures at the Cleveland Browns quarterback position. For me, though, we got one really good year of Baker Mayfield. That was the first year. Last year was not good. So I don't even want to entertain the thought of pulling the plug on Baker Mayfield. And I need to see 4 years of this. Because if Baker Mayfield doesn't even have a good year next year, let's say he has an average year, is that enough to pull the plug on Baker Mayfield? For me, it isn't. Because what's your alternative? And once again, your alternative is Case Keenum, who to me is not going to ever be your franchise quarterback. So when I look at other teams around the league, and I was surprised by how many callers on that station was saying, I know, you know what? Maybe you do put Case Keenum in there. And some hosts were also saying it. On the morning show, Ken and Anthony were on complete different sides of this argument. One was pro what Delhomme was saying, and one was totally against it, and being Ken being against it and Anthony being for it. So maybe Baker does have to watch his back. Me personally, I don't think he needs to. Now, competition could be good. Case Keenum, though, should not be taken over for Baker Mayfield, unless if it's injury. So I don't look at Case Keenum as this threat, but he is someone that they could say it's an open competition, and boom, you could put Baker in a good position because Baker will beat out Case Keenum for the job. So when I look at this, and we go around all the 32 teams in the National Football League, for the Patriots, let's start with them. We'll go by division. Jared Stidham doesn't have to be, you know, nervous about what's going to happen. I think he's going to be given an opportunity this year. And if he has success, maybe they'll go to year number two. If he has failure, then they'll draft someone or they'll sign someone. To me, yes, there's pressure on Jared Stidham because he's taking over from Brady. There's going to be a tension. I don't think he needs to be looking over his shoulder, though, every 2 seconds. If they bring in Cam, if they bring in Jameis Winston, then that's a different conversation. But for now, with Brian Hoyer being there, does Brian Hoyer really get you nervous if you're Jarrett Stidham? He shouldn't be. And if for Jarrett Stidham, if Brian Hoyer gets you nervous, then you're not equipped to be the long-term starting quarterback for the Patriots. Josh Allen, that's his team. They just traded for Diggs. He has nothing to be nervous about. Sam Darnold, same thing. He's got to play well. He's got to play an entire season. I believe in Sam. I don't believe in that organization, though. I do like Joe Douglas, but the Jets, it's tough to give them the benefit of the doubt. Right now, though, you should not be worried if you're Sam Darnold. Ryan Fitzpatrick, you've been on a magical, fun ride. You have this Fitzmagic stuff. You know this is probably your last year in Miami. Maybe you go one more year, but eventually you're going to have to pass the baton over to whoever is the next quarterback that the Dolphins do draft, and I think they will take a quarterback in this upcoming draft. In the AFC North, no worrying for Lamar Jackson. He was a stud this year. For Big Ben, they have shown that they're going to do everything they can to get every last ounce of blood, sweat, and tears out of Big Ben. I don't think he's going to be all that successful in the rest of his career, but Ben's a Hall of Fame quarterback. He's nothing to worry about. Baker, to me, he has nothing to worry about because Case Keenum is the alternative, and Case Keenum, to me, had one good year, and even in that year at the end, it left a very sour and bitter taste in your mouth if you're a Vikings fan. Cincinnati, Dalton, he probably wants out. He's probably hoping he gets traded. He knows that the end is near because they're going to take Joe Burrow number one overall. Deshaun Watson, the only thing he has to be worried about is his coach, because his coach keeps on making stupid front office decisions as the general manager as well. Ryan Tannehill, they just gave you a four-year deal, nothing to worry about. Phillip Rivers, you're probably on hole 18 of your career. You got a one-year, $25 million deal, there's nothing to worry about. Gardner Minshew, you're going to get a year this year. If your team stinks and if they're picking number one overall next year, then you start to worry because you know your days will be numbered as Trevor Lawrence will then be the quarterback of the Jacksonville Jaguars. But for this year, right now, there's nothing to worry about for Gardner Minshew. Mahomes, the only thing you have to worry about is, where are you going to put and how are you going to invest the paycheck that they're about to give you and the contract that they're about to give you. Drew Lock, this is your team now. We'll see what you could do. For the Raiders, Carr is something to worry about because who's lurking now in Las Vegas? It's Marcus Mariota. And if Derek Carr struggles, and I don't care what the Raiders have said or however they've tried to spin it, I don't believe that Derek Carr, in their mind, is their long-term starting quarterback moving forward with the Las Vegas Raiders. So if the Raiders are struggling in week 8, week 9, and Carr is throwing picks and fumbling the football to the other team, then you may see Marcus Mariota get into the fold, and Marcus Mariota may play the Ryan Tannehill role that would happen last year to Marcus Mariota when Ryan Tannehill did take over. For the Chargers right now, Tyrod Taylor, you're getting another chance to be the starter. If I'm the Chargers, I would go on out there and sign Cam Newton. But right now, we haven't got any indication that they're going to do that. Carson Wentz, you're the man in Philadelphia. Nothing to be concerned about. Dak Prescott, you should only be concerned about when that team is going to agree to a contract. I would think by the start of the season, I would hope by the start of the season that the Dallas Cowboys do get a deal done there, and I think that they will. But with Jerry Jones, you never know because of the drama game he does play. For Daniel Jones, he's the guy in New York. Nothing to worry about right now. Dwayne Haskins has something to worry about. Remember, it's a new regime. This is not the regime, even though he's drafted a year ago, that picked him. Ron Rivera already brought in Kyle Allen. He doesn't concern me. I would like to see Dwayne Haskins go a full 16 games. But if that team doesn't take a quarterback in this draft, which I don't think they will, at least in the first round, that's a team that also may very well next year be in the top five, and then maybe they do take a quarterback next year if Haskins doesn't play well. So Haskins does have something to worry about, but I would like to see Haskins get a fair shot with, and they have not done a good job surrounding him with talent last year, but I would like to see him get a fair shot and see what he could do. Green Bay, Rodgers, you're the guy there. Minnesota, they just extended Kirk Cousins. Mitch Trubisky has something to worry about. They brought in Nick Foles. It would not surprise me. I don't believe Foles will start week one. I think it will be Trubisky. And if Trubisky struggles and you're in that category week 8, week 9, then yeah, Nick Foles could be coming in to try to save the day. For Matthew Stafford, you probably want out of Detroit. They could take a quarterback at 3. I think they will pass on that this year. But if Stafford plays well this year and the cap hit does go down in terms of dead cap, there could be a possibility that next year the Lions take their quarterback, maybe with the new coach and new general manager, And they do trade Matthew Stafford to get some picks back, but I do think Matthew Stafford would welcome that. Breeze, nothing to worry about. I know that they're going to use Taysom Hill more, but as long as you want to keep on coming back, it seems like the Saints are going to be open to that. Matt Ryan, nothing to worry about. Tom Brady, nothing to worry about. Teddy Bridgewater, I'm not convinced that's a long-term move, even though they just signed him to a three-year contract. Because what happens if Carolina's awful this year? Is that going to, because they just signed Teddy Bridgewater, is that going to eliminate them taking a quarterback next year early? Or if Tua falls, would they take Tua this year? I don't think that they would pass up if Tua falls to them at seven on Tua Tagovailoa. And the next year, if let's say they don't take a quarterback, they take, you know, whoever this year, and they are maybe the first pick in the draft next year, they're going to take Trevor Lawrence, and then Teddy Bridgewater's days will really be numbered. So, Teddy, you're getting your opportunity. I just don't believe that it's going to last very long. You know, if Teddy Bridgewater is the starting quarterback for all 3 years and makes it through all 3 years in Carolina, even though I like Teddy and I'm rooting for Teddy, I would be surprised. Jimmy G, they catch you, nothing to worry about. Now you got to get back to the Super Bowl and win it. Russell Wilson, you're good. The Rams, Jared Goff, yeah, that's something to worry about. Now, they don't have someone on that roster right now that's going to replace you, but and your coach and Sean McVay likes you a lot and he's tied to you. But when you look at that contract and you see the direction of that team that it's going in right now, you're okay for this year and the year after that. Your dead cap is $94 million, it says this year, on SpotRack. And then for 2021, it says $58 million is the dead cap. The year after that, it's 25. So you're probably good for three more years. And if they're going to move on from Jared Goff, you better have a good alternative in place. And you're going to have to eat some money on that deal. That contract, from a cap hit to a dead cap, doesn't really open up till 2023, where it's $30 million cap hit and then $5 million in dead cap. But that's a deal that's not looking good, because I don't think Jared Goff is going to be great. But can he get back to being very good? We'll have to wait and see. And then finally, Kyler Murray, you're more than fine in Arizona. You have Cliff Kingsbury there, and they just got you DeAndre Hopkins. So if I'm a quarterback right now, the quarterbacks that need to be watching their back the most, I would say Mitch Trubisky, Dwayne Haskins, also David Carr or Derek Carr, and that's where I would really draw the line in the sand. Those three quarterbacks are going to be the ones that have to worry the most with what's going on right now. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4CBS. Who's a quarterback that should be worried? Are you thinking it's Derek Carr? Are you also taking a look thinking it's Mitch Trubisky? You know, who is your answer right now? We'll take a timeout, and when we come on back, we'll look at some of these younger quarterbacks and how teams are either properly surrounding them with talent or doing the complete opposite.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show. Glad you're still here. Now back to the Zach Gelb Show.
Zach Gelb Show on a Friday on CBS Sports Radio. Coming up at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, former MLB closer in Brad Lidge will join us. Already had Dwayne Casey on the show. Really did enjoy Coach's conversation, as we did talk about the coronavirus, and also enjoyed our time with DeMario Davis. If you missed any of that, at Zach Gelb on Twitter. Also on CBS Sports Radio's website, cbsportsradio.com, you could find the links to those interviews at the conclusion of the show, or any segments, as we do post each and every hour, each and every minute, each and every second of the Zach Gelb Show daily on our website and also on my Twitter page as well. When we get into young quarterbacks, let's look at some young quarterbacks around the league, because there's one thing when you think you have a young quarterback, or you know you have a young quarterback that's going to be your franchise quarterback, or you hope to be your franchise quarterback, and sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. And sometimes that's because the player is just not good enough, or other times the player is good enough, but your front office did not do a good enough job surrounding them with the right pieces, or your coach mismanages the situation. So let's look at a guy like Mitch Trubisky. Mitch Trubisky has to play better. Now, they've made moves to help out that defense, but what have been the big moves? Who are the big weapons for the Chicago Bears that Mitch Trubisky has? Like last year, they got Cordero Patterson. He's an okay player. He's not a great player. So that's a team that, yes, I get on Mitch Trubisky a lot. I don't think he is a franchise quarterback, but they don't really surround him with a lot of playmakers on the offensive side of the ball. This year, they signed Jimmy Graham. Are you going to tell me Jimmy Graham has a lot left in the tank? No, I don't believe so. Dwayne Haskins. This past year, when he got on the field, he didn't have his franchise left tackle, and now Trent Williams is no longer to be there regardless of the situation. And you look at the weapons. You know, this is a big draft for the Redskins. They're going to take Chase Young second overall, but what help are you going to get Dwayne Haskins? Now, Terry McLaurin was a good player for them last year. But who else are you going to surround your quarterback with? Because right now, people are saying, Dwayne Haskins isn't all that good. We haven't really seen Dwayne Haskins get a fair shot yet. Daniel Jones with the Giants, they don't have a lot around him on defense. Now, for him offensively, you have Saquon. Saquon's got to now stay healthy. That offensive line, they've tried. And the offensive line got a little bit better last year, but they need better offensive linemen around him. And that offensive line really needs to start playing better as a unit, even though they made a little bit of a step last year. Now, they got Golden Tate. They traded away Odell Beckham. So, Slayton did a nice job last year. It was a good draft pick. But really, overall, that's, you know, Dave Gettleman's got to start making better decisions. Carson Wentz in Philadelphia. That's, you know, I know they just traded for Darius Slay. It's a defensive piece. Offensively, you have Alshon Jeffrey still there. And I don't even know if he's going to make the roster. They may try to move on from him because there's a lot of problems that he causes in the locker room. He's a headache as of late. You still have Zach Ertz. Running backs. Nothing really great there. Well, actually, let me take that back. Miles Sanders is a very good draft pick. And Boston Scott did a nice job. So you have something there at the running backs. But right now, when you look at his receivers, not like he has a great wide receiver there. Alshon Jeffrey, to me, is past his prime and he gets injured too much. At times last year, Greg Ward was his best receiver and he was on the practice squad. So Carson Wentz, a good quarterback. I think he has potential to be a great quarterback. They could do a better job surrounding him with talent. Dak, yes, Frederick just retired on the offensive line. They have weapons there. They got him Amari Cooper, and we saw what happened there. They paid a big price tag for Amari Cooper. Drew Lock, they just signed Melvin Gordon. Mahomes, he's got a ton of talent. Gardner Minshew, doesn't have a lot of talent. If you want to go to Deshaun Watson, they took away his best player. They tried with Tunsil on the left tackle spot. They tried to get him some help. But trading away Hopkins is just such a silly and stupid and inane decision. Baker, they've done all they could. You know, one thing they messed up, though, in a big way was the coach that they picked last year. But they have some talent around there, and they just got Hooper. Lamar Jackson has the talent. He has the talent around him, too. Sam Darnold, the Jets, they got to do a better job getting him help. And he just lost Robbie Anderson. And Josh Allen, give the Bills credit for getting Stephon Diggs. It is the Zach Yelp Show on CBS Sports Radio. We'll take a timeout when we return. Mikey B is going to be back on the show. We'll do a little onsides, offsides.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.